IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan says UN staff won't be run out of Iraq, despite yesterday's bombing at the UN's headquarters in Baghdad that has killed at least 20 people.
There are many other United Nations officials who remain in Iraq, and we will continue our work. We should not be distracted nor deterred by this senseless and brutal act of violence.
Among those killed in the blast was the top UN envoy to Iraq, Sergio Vieira de Mello. Annan spoke on a stopover in Stockholm, Sweden, en route to New York City, where he'll meet later today with the Security Council. The Palestinian leadership is ordering its security forces to seek out and arrest the militants behind yesterday's suicide bombing of a bus in Jerusalem that has killed so far at least 18 people. Israeli Foreign Prime Minister Gideon Meir says the bombing is another example of terror by Palestinians when the Israelis make overtures of peace.
Whenever Israel is making gestures to the Palestinians, the response which we are getting is terror, more terror, and more terror.
Earlier today, Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas severed contact with Islamic militant groups and vowed to find out who's behind the bombing. He'll meet with his cabinet later today to decide what security measures to take against the militants who've claimed responsibility for yesterday's attack. The groups Hamas and Islamic Jihad have both said they carried out the attack. Another attack on American troops in Iraq today. Guerrillas fired rocket-propelled grenades at an American military convoy in Tikrit. Two soldiers were injured in the attack, and one civilian American contractor was killed in the incident. U.S. military spokesman Major Brian Luke says soldiers are now working with locals to root out pockets of resistance.
We have taken appropriate response, secured the area, and currently conducting operations on from tips from Iraqi citizens on where enemy forces may be hiding.
It hasn't been released yet just who the contractor worked for or where he was from. U.S. authorities blame the attack on supporters still loyal to Saddam Hussein.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like, but on the inside, I'm all. Just because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. Really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
California Governor Gray Davis hopes his speech at UCLA last night will help save his political career. For the first time since voters signed petitions to recall him, Davis admitted he reacted slowly to the state's energy crisis, but he maintains the effort to boot him out of office is just partisan politics. Arnold Schwarzenegger, meanwhile, is trying to present himself as the everyman Republican candidate in new television ads aimed at forwarding his campaign for governor of California. On the Democratic side, meanwhile, Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante revealed his agenda yesterday for cutting the state's budget deficit, including new taxes and budget cuts.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
Police are investigating after firefighters responding to a house fire in Detroit last night found three children shot to death and a fourth critically injured. More on the story from reporter Peggy Hodge.
Emergency workers discovered the three children in the basement of the home around 10 p.m., and authorities believe the fire was set to cover up the killings. An 11-year-old girl who was shot in the stomach was found alive on the first floor of the house and is in critical condition. She is expected to recover from her wounds. Police said the children's parents were getting a divorce, and their mother, Essie Bailey, had moved out of the residence. Authorities are looking for the children's father, Anthony Bailey, for questioning. Peggy Hodge, Detroit.
And two Colorado counties have declared health emergencies in their battle against the West Nile virus. The state of emergency allows exterminators to spray for mosquitoes, which of course can carry that disease, without asking for landowners' permission. Colorado wants the federal government to pick up the more than $4 million tab that will cover the insecticide spraying. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes! When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil's survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to our program today. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius Satellite Network. Satellite radio network. Sirius satellite system is that thing if you buy a new Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, etc. It can come as standard equipment if you would like. These satellite receivers. Now Sirius, by the way, has one that you can use in your home. And also streaming live on the internet from numerous internet radio stations. RadioPower.org being my favorite. Live365. IEAmericaRadio.com has a web stream off this network's website. And archived every day at WhiteRoseSociety.org. This is Tom Hartman. Bush does not rule out corporate tax credits. A Reuters headline in today's news. Oh, my goodness. When's he going to get it? It's President Bush on Tuesday played down the need for more tax cuts to spur the U.S. economy, but did not rule out new breaks for businesses, saying, we'll take a look and see. In fact, I think Reuters was not paying attention. His energy bill offers $18 billion in breaks and welfare, in actual grants to corporations in the business of drilling for oil, mining coal, transporting natural gas, and producing nuclear energy. There is virtually nothing in there for anybody who would seek to save energy. There is nothing in there for anybody who would seek to produce alternative forms of energy or nothing of consequence. But boy, are we giving the oil companies some bucks. And you can bet that this blackout in the northeast corridor of the United States is going to be used big time, to push this corporate welfare program that this administration has been embarked on since day one. Thomas Friedman had an op-ed in today's New York Times. No time to lose in Iraq, he says, as the headline. And Thomas Friedman is one of those guys that a lot of people, you know, I read his book, The Lexus and the Olive Tree, or vice versa, The Olive Tree and the Lexus, some time ago. And he presents himself as kind of a middle-of-the-road, reasonable guy. But he's really part of the go-along-with-the-neo-feudalism movement. That is, corporations do it, it must be good. Turn the functions of things over to the, quote, free market, end quote, which we know is A, not free, and B, not a market. And you know, let the rich get rich and let the working people be terrified and, you know, that's just fine. Everything will be great. Being part of the class, as it were, that does very well when the rich are getting richer, Friedman himself being very wealthy. But anyhow, so you know, usually when he writes in the Times, I read this stuff and I go, But he had some good things to say today. And there are only two things we need, he suggested, in Iraq. I mean, he's talking about this is follow-up to the blowing up the U.N. building yesterday. It's a tragedy, disaster, criminal act. There are only two things we need, says Friedman. More Americans out back and more Iraqis out front. Amen. He says we need more resources to get basic services here running and Iraqis in charge as fast as we can. This is not Germany 1945. America is much more radioactive in this region. We don't have infinite time. And this is such an important point. He said, he goes on to say, we have not empowered that Iraqi silent majority enough, and it has been too timid and divided to step forward yet. And then he quotes Barzani saying, let Iraqis take the credit, let Iraqis take the blame. This is this situation is so much more like Vietnam than like Germany or Japan. It's just amazing to me. The pundits on the right are trying to spin this as Germany, Japan, and this is how they sold this thing to George Bush in the very beginning. Was, you know, it's going to be just like Germany and Japan. You know, we're going to go in there. You know, we'll have our little Marshall Plan. We'll do well. In fact, on the AFP Newswire today, there was this article. A former U.S. diplomat who resigned, the headline is, former U.S. diplomat says Rumsfeld led Bush to war. A former U.S. diplomat who resigned over Iraq has described over the Iraq war, this being Brady Kiesling. You may remember, this was the guy who was he wasn't the ambassador, he was like within the embassy to Greece, as I recall, and he resigned over the Iraqi war. It got a day worth of, you know, news coverage. Anyhow, a former U.S. diplomat who resigned over the Iraq war described U.S. President George W. Bush as a, quote, very weak man, end quote, led by the hand into battle by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. He published an open letter in the Greek daily Touvima. Apparently he's still living in Greece. And he says that Rumsfeld exploited the war to increase his own power, his own personal power, that what this was all about was to make Rumsfeld top dog in Washington, D.C. Kiesling suggests that our aims in Iraq are incompatible with American values, and he describes Bush as, quote, a politician who badly wants to appear strong, but in reality is very weak, end quote. This is a guy who used to work for George Bush. And I quote from the article, he said, Rumsfeld led Bush by the hand into war, marginalized the Secret Services who had doubts about the war, and emerged as the top politician in Washington. Easy to convince, Bush blindly believed in Rumsfeld's assurances that the occupation of Iraq would pay for itself, Kiesling said. And the world pays. This situation is not Germany or Japan. We are not investing Marshall Fund, Marshall Program kinds of money in this program to bring these nations back. There are those who are suggesting we should. And I would suggest to them that they misunderstand the nature of this. Imagine for a moment if the United States had not reached out across the world and committed acts that, when they were revealed, were viewed to be atrocities, as Japan and Germany had during World War II. I mean, after the end of World War II, the citizens of Japan and the citizens of Germany were equally horrified by what their governments had done during the war. And most of them professed ignorance about those atrocities that their governments were committing. But imagine if one day people from the Middle East came over here and took over the United States. And the first thing that they did was they secured all of the oil wells in Texas and California and Alaska and Oklahoma. And they started pumping our oil over to the Middle East. Do you think that we would ever reach the point where we would say to them, well, you guys are the liberators. You guys are in charge now. You're welcome to our oil, and we'll do what you say. See, in Germany and Japan, we were not draining the natural resources of those countries. This is the thing that just absolutely blows my mind. Yesterday on Crossfire, they had, you know, Jeannie Garofalo. She's a great person, and she's very wise and very intelligent and knows these issues. And even she didn't bring this up, and I just don't know why. It just baffles me. You know, they have these guys, they're discussing this thing about the war in Iraq, quack, this side and that side. And nobody says, well, the reason the Bush administration doesn't want to bring in the UN is because then we'd have to start sharing the oil. We'd have to take it away from Halliburton and give it to the United Nations to administer. I'm telling you, folks, this is the bottom line. Dick Cheney, before 9/11, met with energy industry executives in secret and in private. And we know now from the lawsuit that was done by Judicial Watch, you can find it at judicialwatch.org on their website, was meeting with these industry executives, and they had a map of Iraq with all of the oil fields and those areas that are not yet explored, and they had this thing carved up, and they even had figured out what companies might buy the oil, and this was before 9/11. And then 9/11 happens, and within an hour or so of 9/11, General Wesley Clark gets a phone call from somebody in the White House who he has not yet identified, but I'll bet you was Cheney Rums, was one of these hawks, who says, we've got to pin this thing on Saddam Hussein. And Wesley Clark says, well, if you got some proof about that, I'd be glad to talk about it. And they never called him back. But within a day of 9/11, members of our administration were on national television talking about Saddam Hussein, even though they knew at the time, or they strongly suspected at the time, that he had nothing to do with it. This has been about oil from the very beginning. We have an oil industry executive as our president. We have an oil industry executive as our vice president. You've got the right-wing pundits, radio talk show hosts saying, oh, there's no shortage of oil. There's all these tar sands up in Canada. Yeah, there are. But it's going to cost you more than $30 a barrel to extract the oil out of that sand. Somehow they overlook that. No problem. Drive your SUVs. We need more SUVs. Well, setting aside the fact that you're more likely to die in one because they roll over easily, it's feeding this industry that is sucking this country dry, and it's like feeding the drug pushers. It's like being in a poor neighborhood and saying, let's subsidize the heroin pushers. The heroin pushers in this case being the oil industry. And they're getting their oil just like the heroin pushers do in downtown Detroit. They're getting it from overseas. And there's all these enablers going, that's a good addiction. Yes, indeed. Use more of that stuff. Howard Dean takes the lead in two polls. Dean leads with 28%. According to an American research group of Manchester, New Hampshire, Kerry has 21%, Gephardt 10%. This is in New Hampshire. Nobody else got more than 4%. 32% are still undecided. The Dean campaign kicked off a new ad in New Hampshire. It says, and I quote, Washington politicians talk about the problem, but a governor named Howard Dean did something about it. Today, every child in Vermont has access to quality health care, end quote. I am broadcasting at this moment live from the People's Republic of Vermont, and I tell you, it's true. And then I was listening to one of these right-wingers on the radio this morning, and he goes, Dean, he's going to buy people's votes with offering them health care. He's going to buy people's votes. Yeah, they're buying votes. Yep, they're going to offer this to buy your vote. They're going to offer that to buy your vote. And what the founders said is that when we do what the voters want, that's called democracy. It's not called buying votes. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kicking off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Why do conservatives resort to character assassination and name-calling?
Well, to take this back to this point, this whole idea that anybody who is offering voters something that they might want, people might want Social Security. People might think it's a good idea to have a national health care policy because we know that when Medicare administers health care dollars, it costs about 3%. But when independent, private, for-profit insurance companies administer health care, it costs about 24% because they have to pay dividends to their stockholders. They have to pay multi-million dollar salaries to their CEOs. They have to pay for their corporate jets. They have to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in advertising. You know, every time you see a drug advertisement on television, note that is your money being spent in that television advertising, and television advertising is not cheap. They have to pay for their lobbyists in Washington, D.C. They have to give their millions and millions of dollars in corporate donations to the campaigns of the politicians that they have in their pockets. Medicare has to do none of that. And so people rightly say, they did the math here in Vermont. Deb Richter, a physician here in Vermont, a doctor in private practice, helped put this thing together, and they actually did the math here in Vermont, and they discovered that if you took the amount of money being given to private health insurance companies and HMOs in Vermont and simply took that cash and divided it by all of the health care expenses in Vermont paid for by insurance and not paid for by insurance, that if you got the insurance companies out of the way, if they were no longer skimming their 24% off the top and getting rich in the process, and just said, forget it, it's just not legal in this state anymore, we're going to go back to the way it was in the United States in 1960 when Blue Cross Blue Shield had to be a nonprofit corporation. And simply say, we are not going to allow this corporatization, they call it privatization, it's a joke, we're not going to allow this. Instead, we're going to say that we're going to take all this money and we're going to have one single payer. That payer will be the government, and the government's going to pay for it. But, it's still, your health care is still provided by your doctor. Your hospital is still your hospital. Everything's the same. It's just that instead of the money going through 35 different insurance companies, each one taking a big chunk, it goes through one agency. And that would cost 3% to administer. That if we took all of the money that is currently being spent in Vermont, and this is true, I'm sure, of every state in the union and of the country as a whole, and simply ran it through a single payer, that we could ensure every single person in Vermont in every way, full health, full dental, full eyes, full drug coverage, full surgery, full everything, with no deductibles, no copays. And it wouldn't cost an extra penny. So anyhow, politicians come along and they say, gee, we can do this. Howard Dean did this here in Vermont. There's not a single child in this state who is not covered. He called the program Dr. Dinosaur. And politicians come along and say, we're going to do this. And people go, well, that's really cool. And what do the conservatives say? Because they can't win the argument, they try to reframe it. They try to say, oh, well, that politician's just trying to buy your vote. No, that politician is just trying to do exactly what politicians are supposed to do, which is the will of the people. If we would like to know that our health care is safe, they're not buying our votes when they say, I'm going to give you good health care. They're providing us what we're asking for. That's what, representative democracy, that's what they're supposed to do. The next time you hear one of these cons talking about buying votes, let the buzzer go off in your head. Demagoguery alert. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with a very interesting fellow, Jack Wheeler, on the right.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller. No breakthrough in talks between Verizon and two unions representing 80,000 employees, but things are definitely heating up 2.5 weeks past a strike deadline. Verizon's largest union, the Communication Workers of America, yesterday filed federal wiretapping charges against the phone giant, charging that two company officials illegally listened in on a conference call to journalists. The CWA invited 27 reporters to join the August 13th conference call, and the union says Verizon officials dialed in uninvited and unannounced. The suit seeks an admission of guilt and punitive damages.
On the layoff watch, IBM cut 600 employees from its microchip manufacturing unit. 500 workers at a plant in Vermont will be let go, and the other 100 cuts will be spread around at other IBM chip plants. The company is also putting 3,000 workers on a week-long unpaid furlough. And at MCI, workers say management's preparing to fire about 10% of the company's 55,000-strong workforce, with the announcement of exact cuts expected before the end of the month. MCI is struggling to get out of bankruptcy, but is in new trouble now on charges of massive billing fraud, which are the focus of investigations by the FBI and FCC.
The federal government's long-running oversight of the Teamsters Union may come to an end, at least according to the union's president. James P. Hoffa says his union has received a proposal to restore governance to Teamsters officials by the end of the year and possibly even sooner. While details of the offer are sketchy, any agreement would likely require the union to appoint an internal ethics officer to monitor any potential mob influence over the union. The Teamsters have been under federal oversight since 1989 when the union settled a civil racketeering suit filed by then U.S. Attorney Rudolph Giuliani.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Radio Network. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, our quote for the day, an empire is an immense egotism. Well said, I think. If you'd like to drop into our chat room and participate in one of the most intelligent, articulate, wise, insightful conversations going on the internet today, go to TomHartmanShow.com. And click on the chat button. It'll take you over there to the trade forum on CompuServe where you push the chat button and boom, you're in. And great conversation, good people. If you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And we were going to have Jack Wheeler on, who is a contributor to Newsmax, who has written a series of articles referring to liberals in, shall we say, less than pleasant fashion. And I wanted to ask him, why do conservatives resort to character assassination and name-calling?
You know, what's the deal here? But so far we haven't been able to get a hold of him. So he may be popping on here sometime during this half hour, and he may not. We'll see. Taliban guerrillas kill 10 Afghan policemen. The Taliban is back. The Taliban is back. People, you know, we have been talking about the warning about this right from the get-go. And this gets back to the point that I started the program with today. And that is that Germany and Japan are completely wrong metaphors for what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. Germany and Japan were aggressor nations who committed atrocities during World War II to attack their neighbors. And when we helped rebuild them, we took nothing from them. Nothing. We gave them a bunch of money and we loaned them a bunch of money and our expertise and our time. And that was it. And I can guarantee you, there is not a single person in Iraq who doesn't realize that Halliburton is pumping oil out of that company, out of that country. There's not a single person in Afghanistan who doesn't know that Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld were involved back in during the Clinton administration in trying to build a natural gas pipeline across Afghanistan. Everybody, I mean, in that region, they understand the strategic significance of Afghanistan to the oil industry. They know that that's why Russia was after it all those years. You can't say that this is even remotely similar to the situation in Germany or Japan after World War II. People say, well, you know, it is possible to bomb people and beat them in a war and then have democracy. Well, yeah, but there's, you know, there's a specific way to go about it. Apparently, you know, if World War II is any example. And we are not pursuing that way. Instead, we are going in and we're taking their natural resources. And this is not a bunch of leftovers from Saddam. I mean, there may be a few in there. But I'm telling you, we are going to see this more and more and more, that the kind of revolt that we are facing is the same kind of thing that Israel is facing with the Palestinians, and that is people who think, rightly or wrongly, that they are being dispossessed, that their resources are being taken, that they're getting the short end of the stick, the raw end of the deal, however you want to say it. This is not a World War II kind of situation. This is a Vietnam kind of situation, where we went in and we said, we're going to bomb you to save you from yourselves or from your nasty leaders who we know you don't want. And so we're going to fix the problem for you. And I don't think any country has ever said, gee, great. Occasionally, but very, very rarely. And when they do, it's because they are so desperate, like Liberia, for example. Taliban militants killed 10 policemen, including a police chief, in a province south of Kabul in the latest incident in a spate of violence that has claimed more than 90 lives in the past week, officials said on Tuesday. Ed Garvey wrote a great column in Madison.com. And I'll get to that in just a second. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Paul from Hollywood, California is on the line. Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm great. And we got Jack Wheeler on the line, too.
Okay.
Jack, we'll bring Jack in just a second. Paul,
the character assassination thing, I'm wondering why the media hasn't picked up on the Arnold stories in London on this 7-year affair with the girl from Little House on the Prairie.
Hmm.
And
this
was
in, The Guardian or something yesterday?
I'm not sure. It's some girl, I'm sure if you type in Arnold and Gigi, I think it's Gigi Colette or something like that, she's saying that she had a 7-year affair with him, and they met when she was 16.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, time will tell, Paul. I mean, you know, I frankly don't care what Arnold does in his personal life.
You know what? It cuts both ways, and they started sex as the litmus test.
Yeah.
And have you ever typed in Franklin cover-up in the Internet? to look at, there's a George Herbert Walker. You should read that one. It'll blow you away.
Yeah, I have. I'm familiar with what you're talking about. Paul, thanks a lot for the comments.
Thank you.
And, you know, keep things going there in Hollywood, California. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jack Wheeler's on the line, a Newsmax pundit and president of the Freedom Research Foundation. Dr. Jack Wheeler. Dr. Wheeler, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Howdy.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Our question, my question for you is, why do conservatives resort to character assassination and name-calling so often? I noticed in the column you're referring to liberals and to Howard Dean specifically as dizzy.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Why is that? Well, okay. I mean, people are familiar with the famous baseball player Dizzy Dean, but I'm
yeah,
just,
I thought he was a good guy.
Dizzy Dean is a good guy, but Howard is going to be called Dizzy Dean pretty soon. I mean, here's a guy who thinks he can be elected president by saying he's going to raise our taxes and maybe getting rid of Saddam Hussein was a good thing and is almost pathologically weak on national defense. I mean, this is not a winning recipe. And so pretty soon, it's interesting to note the Republicans are not going after him because they've got all their fingers crossed, hoping this guy, the Democrats, are dumb enough to give him the nomination. He's the dream candidate against George Bush.
Yeah. Now, your suggestion, you know, and I'm not going to debate those points with you. I think our listeners are you know, they have their own opinions, and you suggest that the left usually end up, you know, with this. Well, you said that moving to the left would destroy the Democratic Party, for example, and traditionally, Democrats have been, or I'm sorry, conservatives have been defenders of the status quo, and what have historically been called liberals, have been those who are suggesting change.
Well, I couldn't disagree more.
Okay.
I think that the conservatives are the only ones with any ideas, and the liberals just want to keep things the same, keep their welfare programs, keep their government regulations, keep their intrusive taxes, et cetera. And any attempt that conservatives make to change things, they always bleat tax break for the rich or some other Teddy Kennedy boondoggle claim, and it's the Democrats who don't want to change.
So would you suggest that during the time of the American Revolution and the Declaration of Independence that those people who were fighting against the British were the conservatives?
Well, they certainly were the defenders of individual freedom and wanted our liberty,
But at the time, who wanted
the growth of government and protection of government certainly were on the side of the British, sure.
Yeah, so the conservatives were those on the side of the British and the liberals were those on the side of the American Revolution.
No,
abolition
I didn't
of
say
slavery?
That at all. I said it was the opposite.
Well, I think any historian would say that. Look at the abolition movement. The abolition movement was opposed by those conservatives who were saying, "Well, hang on. You're." Let's go back to this. Did I hear you right in saying that conservatives actually are not in favor of conserving things the way they are?
You know, it's an interesting term. How these terms now. Liberals, of course, want to be called progressives because liberals have been.
Because that's what they were called
the label has been besmirched, and liberal used to be, in terms of a classical liberalism, what it used to be is liberating the individual. When now liberals today want government control over the individual, and that's basically what they stand for.
So the for example, the women's suffrage movement and the women's right to choose, you're saying that the liberals, by saying that women should have the right to choose, are trying to have government control over women?
Well, certainly the government wants to enable a woman to the government control over the woman's baby. I mean, the right to choose is the right to choose to kill your own child. And I just think that's revolting.
So you're suggesting that with Social Security, for example, or Medicare, that these are attempts by the government to control us?
Oh, certainly, in many ways. I mean, Social Security is one of the greatest ripoffs there are. Look at the way it rips off blacks, for example. Black men have a lower life expectancy than the average person. And so they are going to get far less of their benefits. They die earlier. If you were able to put your money and free to put your money into private savings accounts, the amount of money that you would what you would get is enormously greater than Social Security.
But Jack, they're earning less money too.
They're earning less money, and yet it's still taken
from their paycheck, and they never get the half of the social problem that leads to the situation.
How's that?
I said, what you've identified, you say they're not living as long. They're not living as long in part because they're not making as much money because there's not full equality in the society.
But that's another matter.
No, that's another matter of this thing. You can't take half of the
argument. Social Security is a ripoff for blacks. And you got to get yourself, you got to get a hold of that. Okay? They are not able to collect on what they have been forced to pay into the system.
Whereas if they were able to take some of their money and put it into a private savings account,
but it's the conservative movement that wants to try and change that and enable people to put some of their money into private savings account and increase their retirement savings.
But you're suggesting to me, Jack, that right now I can't put money in a private savings account?
They want the status quo. The liberals stand for the status quo.
Jack, can you hear me when you're talking?
I'm trying to talk, but I notice that you have a habit of butting in and trying to talk over me, so I just keep on going.
I see. Okay. Jack, thanks a lot for being on our program today.
Okay.
Jack Wheeler from Newsmax.com.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ed Garvey says, to paraphrase Shakespeare, we have waded in blood so deep that to return is as dangerous as to go forward. Tim in Santa Fe is on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, actually, I was hoping to ask Mr. Wheeler about the corporate welfare to the oil companies, but I guess we didn't get a chance to ask him about all the benefits that they are reaping in the past years, and also with the agricultural department and how much corporate welfare goes on in that department also.
We could have had an interesting conversation with him, but, you know, he was trying to do his I'm going to score talking points by talking, and I don't have a volume control here where I could pot him down, so I just said screw it.
Well, maybe the next conservative we can ask those questions about what we're doing with our infrastructures and giving all this corporate welfare out there.
Yeah. Well,
that was a comment.
Time will tell. Time will tell. Tim, thanks for calling in, and I appreciate your comments. Ed Garvey's column, he says, imagine George Bush said, he says, what would happen if he just told the truth? Suppose he said, my fellow Americans, we are going to spend $600 billion over the next 3 years to rebuild this country. To raise that money, we are going to ask all Americans, including the wealthy, to contribute to the cause. We will begin by repealing the tax cuts, and we will cut our defense budget by $100 billion per year. Turns out the people who are anti-Saddam are not really pro-American. Why? Possibly because we armed Saddam for our interests in Iran. But we can't ignore 12 years of misery exacted by our sanctions. No one likes an occupying army. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to hear George W. say such things. But time will tell. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Ruth in Florida is on the line. Ruth, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, how you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Frustrated, I know that.
Well, it was just, you know, I blew my cooler. What's up?
But this is what the whole reason you wanted to talk to this guy was ask him a question about why they do what they do, and he turned around and did what they do.
Right.
Which is to talk over you and keep repeating Orwellian talking points.
We've got about 30 seconds here.
Okay. The other gentleman that called and said that there was an article in The Guardian about Schwarzenegger and his past infidelities, I don't even care about that, but there was also an article in The Guardian today about the journalist who was shot
Right.
And how other journalists are saying that this was actually a close-range shot. The troops knew that the journalists were there and that they had been there for over half an hour before this murder took place. And I'm starting to wonder, what exactly was he filming?
Yeah, and this is starting to bring up again the situation in that Baghdad hotel where they killed the journalist right after they had killed an Al Jazeera journalist. I mean, this we'll see. I doubt there's going to be any kind of an investigation by this administration.
Yeah, investigation. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but hopefully it gets brought up. Ruth, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate the call.
Sure.
Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
LendingTree.com presents How to Make Your Big Debt Small Debt. 1. Get all your debts together.
Okay, got them. Stacks piling.
2. Consolidate your debts into one low monthly payment with a debt consolidation loan at LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. To consolidate your debt, call 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Ugly
weapon. They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Into the distance, ribbon of black, stretched to the point of no turning back. Flight of fancy on a windswept field.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK. Yes, 1-800-825-5937. And Robert in Long Beach is on the line. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hi, yes. I was calling in to challenge the assertion of Mr. Wheeler, who said liberals stand for government control over the individual.
Yeah,
I think that's a crock.
I know. This is the standard right-wing nonsense line.
Well, I'd like to challenge Mr. Wheeler, if he's still listening, to call back in and explain to the listening audience how the Patriot Acts, which allow the government to spy on your email and medical records and detain you without a charge, doesn't constitute control over the individual. You know, how the government secretly spying on what books you check out of a library doesn't constitute government control over the individual. How the government dictating how consenting adults in the privacy of their home expressing sexual love for one another doesn't constitute government control over the individual. And I'd like
him, Robert.
Sorry?
Amen. Yes, I agree.
And I would like him to explain how, you know, the government's, you know, active stifling of dissent through these endless, you know, media mergers through the FCC also doesn't control the individual's access to a diversity of viewpoints so they can form their own opinions.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line, Robert, is that he wouldn't have an answer to those things. What he would have is long platitudes that would go on, and that he would not allow to be interrupted. And,
yeah. Well.
Therefore, he's toast.
Yeah, I think you're going to hear the sound of crickets chirping in the background on this one. I don't think he'll call back and explain those.
No, I guarantee he won't. Although he's welcome to. 1-800-TALK. Yes, is our number, and I will take his call if he calls.
Thank you very much, Tom. Keep up the good work.
Sure. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. An empire is an immense egoism, says Ralph Waldo Emerson. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim in Texas. Jim, we've got about a minute left here, I think, in this last segment.
Hello?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, yes, Tom.
Got to either make it quick or hold you over the break.
Okay.
Your choice. Okay, we're going to hold you over the break, because there comes the music. Jim, hang on, and we will take you right out of the... It's going to be 5 minutes for the news, so we'll take your call right after the news. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mike Malloy is rational, and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't you put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The United Nations is vowing to continue its mission despite yesterday's bomb attack, which destroyed its headquarters in Baghdad, killing its key envoy to Iraq and at least 20 others. However, for the moment, the staff are being pulled out of the country and will work instead from neighboring Jordan. Speaking in Stockholm earlier before returning to United Nations headquarters in New York, Secretary General Kofi Annan said the world body will not be intimidated.
We should not be distracted nor deterred by this senseless and brutal act of violence. Those who killed our colleagues have committed a crime not only against the United Nations, but against Iraq itself.
The UN Security Council will be meeting later today to discuss a possible response to the attack. Meanwhile, in the aftermath of a deadly bus explosion in Israel yesterday, Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, who's also known as Abu Mazen, has cut off contacts with militant groups and is vowing to crack down on them. But Hamas leader Ismail Abu Shanab said openness among Palestinians has been a key element of their strength, and the dialogue must continue if there's to be a peace.
Nobody can stop this dialogue unless he is intending to break the Palestinian unity, and I don't think that Abu Mazen is intending to do so.
At least 18 people were killed and 100 others wounded in yesterday's suicide bombing of that bus in Jerusalem. Both Hamas and Islamic Jihad have claimed responsibility for the attack. A civilian contractor has been killed and two U.S. soldiers wounded in an ambush in Tikrit, Iraq. A U.S. military officer says guerrillas fired rocket-propelled grenades at a U.S. military convoy in the northern Iraqi town. The officer did not give the nationality of the contractor who was working for a U.S. firm. And representatives of warring factions that have scarred Liberia with a 14-year-long civil war are sitting down today for talks in Ghana. They're hoping to name a new interim government that will lead the war-torn nation for at least the next 2 years.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all...
Feeling. Whoa, 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 feeling.
Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
More than $2.7 billion is being transferred now from the Libyan government to an international bank. That money will go to the families of victims of the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988. The large size of the transfer means it could take more than 2 days to complete. Energy Secretary Spencer Abrahams expected to meet with his Canadian counterpart in Detroit today. They'll hopefully come up with ways to combine investigations into last week's massive power outage. That outage, of course, affected the northeast U.S. and parts of Canada. Abraham promises the probe won't shield the electric industry from responsibility.
LendingTree.com presents How to Make Your Big Debt Small Debt. 1. Get all your debts together.
Okay, got them. Stacks piling.
2. Consolidate your debts into one low monthly payment with a debt consolidation loan at LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. To consolidate your debt, call 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
California Governor Gray Davis yesterday made his first major response to the recall election. He said it was, quote, expensive, undemocratic, and a bad precedent. Arnold Schwarzenegger is now the first candidate, meanwhile, in the recall to buy TV time. His 60-second ad reassures people he's the everyman candidate. Meanwhile, Democratic Lieutenant Governor and replacement candidate Cruz Bustamante laid out some actual ideas to deal with California's financial problems. More on that story from correspondent Don Andrews.
Bustamante is proposing $8 billion in new taxes, a reduction in the car tax increase that's scheduled to go into effect this fall, and $2 billion in additional spending cuts. Bustamante says he'll work with the legislature to get the plan approved, but says if that fails, he'll take the entire package to the voters via a ballot initiative. Bustamante's plan calls for an increase in the personal income tax rate for the wealthiest Californians, a hike in the commercial property tax rate, and an increase in the tax on cigarettes and alcohol. The planned car tax increase would be cut in half under Bustamante's plan. Don Andrews, Sacramento.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Lycos with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to Open Loop Recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape. That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand new Mercedes. And like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Lycos. Lycos, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Beautiful Wednesday to you, day 192 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. No, not programs, not intellectual capacity, but weapons of mass destruction. Day 708 in the search for that man whose name shall not pass the lips of George W. Bush, Osama bin Laden, a.k.a. Osama bin Forgotten. And here we move. Here we go. We're going to, in this hour, be covering the best of the rest of the news. Got a bunch of topics here I want to share with you, things from the news that have been piling up throughout the week. A bunch of stuff in today's news. In the next hour, how to win the water cooler wars with conservatives in 3 minutes or less. We have talked about the conceptualguerrilla.com website. We're going to have the fellow who put that website together on as a guest, and it's going to be an exciting and interesting hour. I hope you can stick around for it. And right now, I'd like to get back to Jim in Texas, who was kind enough to call just before the break and call back right after the break and come on back in. Jim, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, I just love your show, Tom.
Thank you, Jim.
That fellow there, I believe you scared him. I believe you asked him a fairly decent question, and you scared him, I think.
He went into nonstop platitude mode.
I think that's what happened. And that's the guy, I also heard that the fellow that was doing the that got shot in Iraq, the cameraman, I heard on Malloy's show last night that he was filming U.S. soldiers' graves. Bureau chief called Mike last night and was telling him that. I thought that was kind of interesting. Evidently, the administration was warned about this last attack that happened in Iraq. And, George has a history of being warned about things and not taking any action. the one in Iraq just now, and I believe he was warned about 9/11, and he didn't do anything about that.
Well, actually,
and
he did do something about it, Jim.
He was warned about the energy crisis that just happened, and he didn't do anything about that.
Well, he did something about that, Jim. Hey, Jim, let me just interrupt you here. George Bush was warned about 9/11. He was specifically told that al-Qaeda people were talking about hijacking airplanes and running them into buildings, and their targets would be in Washington, D.C. and New York City. And so for the entire month of August, George Bush left town and was hiding out down in Texas at his ranch, took the longest vacation in the history of presidents of the United States, and then went to Florida, where his brother is governor. And before he arrived, the state of Florida went on to emergency status. And John Ashcroft, for the entire month of August, stopped flying on commercial airplanes. So
that's
they did
interesting,
something,
isn't it?
Yeah, they did something. You can't say they didn't do anything.
Well, I'd like to just know why the September the 12th, that only one airplane was allowed in the skies, and that was the plane that ushered the bin Laden family out of the United States. I'd like to get an answer to that.
Well, Jim, it's interesting. I brought that up a week or so ago on the program, and somebody, one of our listeners, sent me an email pointing to a site that debunks urban myths. And this site said that Michael Moore had said that on one of the late-night talk shows, and in fact, there wasn't any truth to it, that what had actually happened was that just before all 9/11, you know, like as in hours before, or immediately after, and I don't remember which, I'd have to go back and look at it, the bin Laden family was being rounded up and flown out of the country. But the day, according to this news report that I read, that Moore got it wrong, and that actually what happened was that within hours of the time that flights were allowed to resume, that's when the bin Laden flight left the country. Now, what raises the flags in my mind is that it was 4 or 5 days after 9/11 before anybody was talking about Osama bin Laden. But the bin Laden family was flying out before that was public information. And that in my mind, is as much of an indictment, or raises as much of a question about what's going on with this administration.
Very concerned about the voting machines. That probably has me more concerned than anything. I know that we've got to get rid of this guy. We can't afford 4 more years of this fella. The country is unraveling at the seams now. And everywhere this guy goes, problems follow.
I assume you're talking about getting rid of him in the ballot box.
We just got to get rid of him.
Well, electorally, Jim, we got to be careful how you speak. Electorally. We all agree on that.
I appreciate your show.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you. I appreciate you
calling in. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. And John in Long Beach, California, is on the line. Welcome to the program, John.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey.
In regards to the U.N. bombing in Iraq, the bombing of their building, the guy that was killed, some representative, I forget his name, but, you know, he was not one of... He did not like what we were doing.
DeMello, I think it was his name.
Yeah,
Sergio,
you know, he badmouthed everything we did. Now, being the paranoid individual that I am, I'm not so sure that in some way, and at what level I don't know, but in some way it wouldn't surprise me that we are involved in that bombing in some way.
Well,
because, okay, first of all, we don't like the UN, and that would maybe be a warning for them to keep their nose out of everything, and then getting this guy that was bad-mouthing us anyway.
Yeah.
I
can't quite get that paranoid. I mean, the UN was
soft. He thinks the same thing as I did.
Yeah, I know, but
I'm just saying for a fact. I don't know, but it just looks awful suspicious.
Well, what concerns me is that 3 weeks ago, DeMello was speaking at the United Nations about the fact that, in his opinion, the UN headquarters in Iraq was a sitting duck, that there was a problem with security there, that the international consensus, is that the United States Marines are responsible for all security in Iraq right now, and that the United States Marines were not providing security to the UN building. Now, what I heard on CNN was that was at the request of the United Nations. that they didn't want U.S. Marines providing security. If that's the case, if that's really and truly the case, then, you know, what happened happened, and I think that the terrorists were looking for easy opportunities, and the U.N. was an easy opportunity. If it's not the case, then somebody has some questions to answer, and I'd rather than just hearing that on CNN, I'd like to know what the source of that information was
well,
and whether there's something
to that. The only thing I would say to that is that it doesn't make sense for the terrorists to attack the U.N. in Iraq. Because the UN, as such, was against the war.
No, but they're with the way that they're viewing it, I think, John, is that they're saying a curse on all your houses. You guys are occupying our country. You're pumping our oil. You're selling off. Bush just appointed a privatization czar to sell off 179 of the companies in Iraq to American companies, and it's an American crony of his who was one of his pioneers who raised $100,000 for his election campaign, and these guys are saying we don't want anybody from the West in here. I think that if we, like in the 91 Gulf War, if we had gotten Kuwait and Qatar and the UAE and Saudi Arabia, if we had a bunch of other Arabs in there, then it might be a little different. But we don't, and they've just decided the UN's in it with us.
Well, the only thing I would say in closing is that anybody connected to this Bush cabal, I don't trust.
Yeah. Well, anyway. I agree with you, John. I agree with you.
Okay.
And I think that you and I and Jim and all the folks in our chat room, and boy, has it filled up here, by the way. Go to TomHartmanShow.com and you can follow the links to it. We got to stick together. We got to, and we keep raising these issues. What's going on here? And keep the word out. John, thanks a lot for the call.
Sure.
I appreciate your calling. Leading Republican Senator John McCain, this according to Reuters. Yesterday's Reuters, leading Republican Senator John McCain said on Tuesday the United States needed additional troops in Iraq to deal with the increasingly more sophisticated attacks against U.S. forces and strategic targets. As I said, this is more like Vietnam than Germany and Japan. And if you go back to the history of the Vietnam War, there was all this, we've got to have more troops, we've got to have more troops, we've got to have more troops. There was a survey that was done in 67 or 68 about whether, asking Americans whether we should increase the bombing or decrease the bombing. And over 50%, 58% as I recall, said we should increase the bombing. I mean, we had these same guys, or the same mindset, probably many of the same corporate connections. Look at the defense contractors who made billions during the Vietnam War. They're at it again. Keep in mind, Rumsfeld was a lobbyist for defense contractors before he became Secretary of Defense here in this administration. And so on it goes. On it goes, on it goes. Yesterday we were sharing, every day we've got one of Bush's lies. Here's our lie of the day. This from the Washington Post pointing out. On 9/12/02, George Bush at the United Nations said, and I quote, "Iraq has made several attempts to buy high-strength aluminum tubes used to enrich uranium for a nuclear weapon," end quote. And here's what the Washington Post said. Gas centrifuge experts consulted by the U.S. government said repeatedly for more than a year that the aluminum tubes were not suitable or intended for uranium enrichment. By December of 2002, the experts said new evidence had further undermined the government's assertion. The Bush administration portrayed the scientists as a minority and emphasized that the experts did not describe the centrifuge theory as impossible. Well, they also haven't said it's impossible that you can defy gravity. But I don't think that anybody has said that, this is something that should be taken seriously, at least at this point. In a turbulent 12-hour stretch, a pipeline supplying much of Baghdad's water was blown up this weekend. A huge new fire was set off along an oil pipeline, and a mortar attack on a prison left 6 Iraqis dead and 59 wounded. We're overlooking this. I mean, this whole thing bombing the UN, and this is an absolute mess. What's the bigger picture? What can we do about this? I think that we need to take a deep breath and we're there now. What if Howard Dean gets elected president tomorrow or any of these other Democrats who are running? I mean, what are they going to do? And this is where the American press has so fallen down in not asking the neocons this simple question. Are you willing to give up Halliburton controlling the oil in Iraq in exchange for the UN coming in and the other Arab nations coming in and helping stabilize the situation? And in my opinion, of course, the answer would be no, and that's why it's not even coming up. It's not even being brought up. I mean, this is just totally over the top. But as the New York Times is, the hunt for Saddam Hussein grows more urgent. Why is it more urgent? Because, you know, we want to make him the enemy, not Osama. It's like this has got nothing to do with terrorism. This is a very real problem. Will in Atlanta, I just noticed here you're on the phone on hold. We've got a break here. I'll take your call right after we come out of the break here with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
The free in free markets is not an adjective, it's a verb. We must diligently work to free the market of conniving monopolists who try to lock it down and rule like autocrats. A century ago, robber barons like Rockefeller and Carnegie used their riches to put a chokehold on commerce, buying off governments and media while crushing competitors, workers, and entire communities. The monopolist is a brute. And that's why the populists and finally the Democrats and even trust-busting Republicans like Teddy Roosevelt responded to grassroots demands to free the market using such tools as anti-monopoly laws, labor reforms, and small business protections. But monopoly continues to rear its ugly head. Today, there's a new brute on the block, exerting more power over America's economy than the robber barons could dream of. It is Walmart. Behind the aw-shucks, smiley-faced demeanor portrayed in its ads, this giant is now not merely the largest corporation in the world, but the dominating economic power in our country, able to use its brute financial clout to monopolize practically any market it bulls into. Its monopoly exists because, first, it has grabbed a chokehold on the retail supply chain, able to dictate its price to the thousands of manufacturers that put products in its stores, even compelling these companies to lower their wages or to move their manufacturing to China. Second, Walmart doesn't play fair in the local market. When it moves into your community, it can drop its prices and lose money for months without affecting its overall profits, for it has thousands of stores. Your local hardware, grocery, pharmacy, and others can't do that, so they are crushed, not by Walmart's work ethic or efficiency, but by its brute monopoly force.
This is Jim Hightower saying, Walmart shrinks our economy, destroys middle-class wages, changes the face of our communities, and erodes America's values. It's time to free the market again.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and Will in Atlanta is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Will.
Hey, Tom. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for holding over the break. What's up?
You got a lot of good stuff you're talking about. I just wanted to throw in my 2 cents worth.
Okay.
You mentioned that the press had let us down.
Yes.
There's a book you can get from Amazon.com by the author is a fellow named Harry R. Illman, Illman, and the title is Unholy Toledo.
Okay.
The ISBN, or ASIN, is 031-756-4846, and it lays out, he was a reporter back when it was a trade in Toledo, Ohio, the 30s or 40s, I believe, and he wrote this book retelling his own experience as a paperboy during the circulation wars of the 19-teens,
mm-hmm.
when organized crime took over the newspaper industry across the country, which
at
explains
least the distribution end of it.
Right, from the distribution. And then they said, hey, this is a pretty good deal. I think we want a seat on the board of directors. And it was the Silk Stock and Wasps who had brought in the thugs to bust
mm-hmm.
up the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys who did the roughing up had the goods on the gentility and moved right in. And for instance, Catherine Graham's father, Eugene Mayer's best friend, was Meyer Lansky, the boss of bosses.
Hmm.
And Ann Cox Chambers and the Cox sisters' father, James M. Cox, was the governor of Ohio when the mob owned every elected office in the state, and they're now the wealthiest women in America with a communications empire. But what I called about was John McCain. I read his autobiography, Faith
mm-hmm.
of Our Fathers.
Yes.
And our political leadership is folks that we're dependent on to protect our nation and to serve legally and properly in terms of the use of our assets and our sons and fathers in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And John McCain in his autobiography explains basically that he has no claim on any reputation. He threw his jet away over Hanoi. He knew that a missile was locked on him, and he
mm-hmm.
could have skedaddled. And instead, he threw away a several million dollar jet
mm-hmm.
and then came back and was unfaithful to his wife, who had waited for him faithfully, mother of his children. And his wife now, her father, has come up and is tied to organized crime with the beer distribution business out in Arizona. So he, for this guy who threw away this jet and parlayed his putting us to the loss of him as a serviceman in the false war of Vietnam. I'm a Vietnam-era Army vet myself, and so I had a monkey on my back, and I know that Kennedy had ordered us out and that Bush's father was in with the CIA when they bumped him off to send 58,000 of us to die for a lie like they're doing now in Iraq for the same family.
Yeah, Will, we're running out of time here. You got to wrap up.
All right. Well, we need to clean out Washington of these people that are devoid of integrity and bring to justice the folks that killed Kennedy and Dr. King and are running our country now and sending us to die for Rockefeller and the oil pyramid. And
amen.
We better do it quick. And that's who's tying in with all these corporations, this engine for enslaving mankind that Jefferson identified as the Antichrist in his letter to Samuel Kershaw, January 10, 1918-10. So I just pass that along as an American.
Good. Good on you, Will. Thank you. I appreciate the call. I appreciate your sentiments, and I largely agree with you. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network, and we'll be back. We've got Elliot in Santa Fe on the line. Elliot, stick around. We have a short break here, and I'll pick up your call on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
Hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Lyme disease was first identified in the United States in the 1970s, but an author says the tick-borne illness has been around much longer on both sides of the Atlantic. I'm Jill Ledwig for Earthwatch Radio. It started with a medical mystery, a number of unusual cases of childhood arthritis around Lyme, Connecticut in the 1970s. Researchers discovered that a bacterium transmitted by tick bites causes Lyme disease, as the infection came to be known. But Jonathan Edlow says the illness has been around a lot longer. Edlow is the author of a new book on Lyme disease called Bullseye.
Lyme disease has been, although we didn't call it Lyme disease, has been around since 1909, and there are actually some bits of evidence it's been around even longer than that. Researchers have looked at ticks and mice that have been preserved in museums, and some of those ticks we found evidence of the DNA of the organism that causes Lyme disease from as far back as 1883.
Edlow says doctors in Western Europe described cases that were probably Lyme disease from the late 1800s on, but he says the cause escaped medical detection.
For one, it was not nearly as common before it broke out in an epidemic sort of way in the mid-1970s in the Northeast. So although it may have existed before then, I think they were isolated cases, and I think because of that and because people don't die from Lyme disease, it just sort of evaded detection and fell below the radar screen.
Edlow says suburban development has moved people into prime Lyme disease habitat. Lawns and gardens sometimes create ideal conditions for deer. Deer carry the ticks and help spread Lyme disease, which, if left untreated, can cause arthritis and other chronic health problems. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
A wrench has been thrown into my machinery. Now the world is not as it seemed. A tear has been made in the fabric of what I thought was reality. Now I can't call an apple a fruit with any confidence. And I can't call a tiger a cat. Because you can't call George Bush a moron. Apparently, there's something wrong with that. Evidently he's highly educationalized. He's sharp as a hammer, a nail. He's not to be misunderestimated, since he's been to Hartford and Yale. Now I realize the comment may have been slightly rude, but can't we clear up this misunderstanding? Did Ms. Ducrow really have to resign from her job? How will she put food on her family? Can't we
How will she put food on her
laws?
Yeah.
Make a
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I wanted to just go over some of these points. We had pulled this together originally when our question we were going to have a guest on was why do conservatives resort to character assassination and name calling? And the point, of course, is that they do that, and Ann Coulter is a great example of it, because it's a diversionary tactic. It moves the argument away from reality. You'll recall, the famous memo of Newt Gingrich back in 1990 that he also turned into a videotape that he sent out to Republican political operatives, legislators, and whatnot, talk show hosts all over the country, that said that when you speak of Republican things, you should use words like actively, activist, building, candidly, caring, challenge, change, children, choice, choose, citizen, commitment, common sense, compete, confident, conflict, control, courage, crusade, debate, dream, duty, empower, fair, family, freedom, hard work, help, humane, incentive, initiative, lead, learn, and so on. And when you reference liberals, you should always attach the following adjectives: abuse of power, anti-flag, anti-family, anti-child, anti-job, betray, bizarre, bosses, bureaucracy, cheat, coercion, collapsing, consequences, corrupt, corruption, criminal rights, crisis, cynicism, decay, deeper, destroy, destructive, devour, disgrace, endanger, excuses, fail, greed, failed, greed, hypocrisy, ideological, impose, incompetent, insecure, insensitive, intolerant, liberal, lie, limit, machine, mandates, obsolete, pathetic, patronage, permissive attitude, pessimistic, punish, poor, radical, red tape, self-serving, selfish, sensationalist, shallow, shame, sex, spending, stagnant, status quo, steal, taxes, they, them, threaten, traitors, unionized, urgent, waste, welfare. This is Newt Gingrich's word list for Republicans, and it has certainly been adopted. But when you look at the situation, what you see is that traditionally conservatives have been those who have said, we need to keep things the way they are. There was the conservatives who took the side of the British initially in the War of Independence. And then once the War of Independence in 1776 or 1787 was won, it was the people within the United States who were the most conservative who were saying, well, we need to make, small government and methodical and step by step. Let's take things cautiously. Conservatism actually has, a noble history in many regards. And that's why I honestly have a hard time calling these people, like this guy who was on the show earlier, conservatives. They're hypocrites. On the other hand, conservatives have also resisted a lot of good change in the history of the United States. It has been liberals, or as they called themselves in the 19th century, progressives, and it was actually the Progressive Party, then the populist movement, the progressive movement, and that's where, this word is coming back, and it's coming back for good reason. It has a noble tradition. It was progressives and liberals who promoted the Declaration of Independence and the American Revolution, who promoted abolition of slavery, who promoted the women's suffrage movement. These were all opposed by the conservatives of their day, who promoted the elimination of Jim Crow laws, who promoted popular democracy, who promoted the direct election of senators. Keep in mind that senators in the United States were not elected by we the people until 1917. And because the conservatives said, we can't trust the electorate. And that was a direct outcome of the populist movement and the progressive movement of the late 19th century and early 20th century. It was liberals who suggested that we needed to end child labor. It was conservatives who said, no, we need to leave things as they are. It was liberals who promoted Social Security, Medicare, and a progressive tax system, and conservatives who opposed and continue to oppose all of those things. Teddy Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln are considered two of the greatest Republican presidents in history, yet both battled the extreme right-wing establishment of their party and moved to the left. Thanks to Joe McPherson, our producer on this segment, by the way, for this information, for pulling so much of this together. Lincoln was adamantly wary of corporations. Lincoln battled the radical Republicans after the Civil War, who impeached his vice president successor, Andrew Johnson, because he wasn't following the extremist pro-corporate agenda. Mark Hanna, the boss of the Republican Party at the turn of the century and the puppeteer for William McKinley, despised Teddy Roosevelt because he considered him too liberal. In some of the right-wing writings out there, some of the conservative writings, you'll find comparisons to between the Democratic Party of today and the Whigs. You know, if they get Howard Dean in there, Dizzy Dean, it's going to bring the Democrats down just like the Whigs collapsed. Well, actually, the Republican Party was the reincarnation of the Whigs. And the Whigs were the reincarnation of the Federalists. The Federalists and the Whigs and the Republicans have had an agenda since the founding of this country up until now, more or less, that in many ways is very, very consistent. It's been an agenda of essentially a corporate aristocracy, a wealthy few controlling things. There's a certain security associated with that. I think that there's a psychology associated with this, and that these are folks who, as you know, Ben Franklin pointed out, are willing to exchange freedom and liberty for security. And so, you know, the Republican Party was formed in 1854 after the collapse of the Whig Party, which had started its collapse big time in the 1830s. The Southern Whigs joined the Democrats in opposing abolition, and that led to the Yellow Dog, or I wouldn't say the Yellow Dog Democrats. In some ways, they're very different, but that led to the whole KKK Democrat thing, that part of the Democratic Party in the South that opposed abolition and you know, a pox on their houses, and then we see, you know, Jack Wheeler, he said, "Have you noticed that there's hardly a peep of Republican criticism of Dean?" Nonsense. Ann Coulter has gone after Howard Dean hugely. She wrote, "Donations to the O'Day and Qusay Hussein Memorial Fund can be submitted directly to the Dean campaign." What kind of nonsense is this? The Republican Party itself seems, in our opinion, in my opinion, and I know Joe agrees, it seems bent on self-destruction by letting the naked hate rhetoric of Ann Coulter and Michael Savage be exposed to the mainstream. They accuse MoveOn.org of not being able to move on past the 2000 controversy. What about their obsession with Bill Clinton? I mean, they're still talking about Bill Clinton. He hasn't been in office for 3 years. And, you know, it just goes on and on. It's the liberalism was born out of the Protestant Reformation, many would say. The Enlightenment, the scientific process, John Locke, human reason. And the conservatives find themselves more grounded in Thomas Hobbes. The Iranian fundamentalists are conservatives. The Chinese neo-Confucianists, the Moonies, the Christian Coalition. And Edmund Burke, the father of modern conservatism, said liberty must be limited in order to be possessed. He was suspicious of popular government, as are many conservative philosophers. And, you know, if you connect the current attack on democracy by conservatives to Burke, it goes all back to the same thing. So, anyhow, I want to make that point. I think that this is where the right is falling down. This is where the right is just losing it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver's on the line. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. Comment on the neocons nowadays. First of all, it's bizarre. If you visit the Republican National Committee site, it's really a strange place.
I get their emails, you know, their postings for talk show hosts and whatnot, and I used to read them on the air. But they're just so weird.
You know. Well, if you go, it feels like a bunch of angry frat guys.
Yeah.
And if you go to click on the thing, their link for environmental policies for Bush, they've got the Republicans. They've got virtually nothing but clear skies.
Right.
But the major comment is Dean and what they say about Dean. They keep on saying, "Oh, we'll beat Dean easily." Everything they're saying indicates they're scared to death of Dean. They're saying this in order to try to build the illusion that Dean is not the one who can win. But right. It all appears that let's do everything we can to give this illusion that Dean is going to be a loser.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the dirty tricks to start. I mean, this was, back in 72, as I recall, it was the year that Nixon decided that he couldn't beat Muskie. I mean, the polls all showed that he couldn't beat Muskie. So they did this dirty tricks campaign to throw Muskie out of the race so that he could run against McGovern, because McGovern wasn't as charismatic as Muskie, even though their positions were very similar.
Yeah, that thing of Muskie crying.
Yeah, yeah, and there was it was a setup, you know. Charlie Colson and G. Gordon Liddy set that thing up, and I think Liddy was involved with it. I know Colson was, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this thing shakes out and if the dirty tricks begin. Pardon me, Jeff, I interrupted.
Oh, no
you.
Problem. No, you had good stuff to say. I had nothing more than saying they're just scared of Dean.
Yeah,
and
well,
they'll pretend they won't be. You never admit you're scared of somebody.
Yeah. Well, and Dean represents a real threat to the Republicans because in many ways, Dean represents the values in the fiscal arena, in the economic arena, that the Republicans have purported to expound ever since FDR. I mean, the main way that the Republicans fought against FDR and tried to say, no, we should maintain the corporate aristocracy that led to the stock market crash of 29, that we wanted to go back to the doctrines of Herbert Hoover, was by saying that FDR was putting the nation into deficit spending. We had a substantial debt and deficit at the end of World War II, and the Republicans just hammered FDR for that, and Truman for maintaining it. So Eisenhower came along, and the whole Republican mantra was balanced budgets, and it was right up until Ronald Reagan. Was balanced budgets, and in large part, it was a little disingenuous, because really that was just the thing of the day that they could beat FDR up with in the 30s. But, you know, it sustained itself for, what, another 30, 40 years beyond that. But now Howard Dean is promoting that, and the Republicans still like to claim that that's their heritage. And there are still a few Republicans like Voinovich and Snow who actually believe it. You know, left over the remnants of the Rockefeller Republicans, and I think that they're running scared, as you say, Jeff. I think they're very concerned.
Yep. Take care, Tom.
Well, thanks for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Thanks very much for calling in. We're in the next hour. Just to remind you, we're how to win the water cooler wars with conservatives in 3 minutes or less. It's going to be a very interesting situation. 15. In 2001 and 2002, this is from an article by Robert Shapiro in the New York Times, jobless issue clouds the economy. In 2001 and 2002, nearly half of all homeowners cut their monthly payments by refinancing. Now think of that. Half of all homeowners in America took money out of their homes in the past 2 years. 43% of them, 45% of them also pulled out equity. This added at least $45 billion a year to consumer spending. So this was you talk about stimulus. You would have to give hundreds of billions of dollars to the most wealthy, as Bush did, in the hopes that some of that will trickle down to the middle class, who will actually spend the money rather than invest it in factories in China. And here is this $45 billion stimulus to our economy that was responsible fully for 15% of the consumption increases in 2001 and 2002. 15% of the entire growth in the economy in those 2 years came from one single source, people pulling equity out of their homes. So what we saw during the first 2 years of the Bush administration was a situation where people got poorer in terms of net worth because they reduced the equity in their homes. They extended their debt out over longer periods of time. You know, they took a mortgage that maybe was originally a 30-year mortgage that they paid down to 25 years and started all over again at 30 years. And they took that money and they used it to buy things. And now interest rates are going up. One of my very best friends called yesterday. He and his wife were buying a new house, and he was telling me last week how they had this great rate locked in. And I said, you need to check with your mortgage broker, because what I'm hearing is that these guys had you sign something that was 5 pages of fine print, and buried in page 3, paragraph 9, is something that says, we're not actually guaranteeing you this rate. We're just using the word guarantee as a way of saying we hope. And he said, oh, no, no, this guy wouldn't lie to me. He, you know, we've got the rate. I said, you better check it out. This was a week ago. So yesterday he calls and he says, sure enough, we went to close. And the guy said, no, you can't have that rate. And we said, but it's guaranteed. It says right here in writing. And he says, well, you look at page 3, paragraph 9. It says, you know, guaranteed. It's a... And so all of a sudden now, well, there's a house for sale just down the street from us. We walked by it today. Louise and I took a walk. And 3 people in the last month have tried to buy this house. And in every one of these cases, these 3 different families who tried to buy this house, who 2 months ago would have qualified for the loan, 2 months ago would have been able to buy it, couldn't buy the house because their loans didn't go through. 3 different families. And the reason their loans didn't go through, very simple. The banks are not stupid. They're looking at this situation. They're saying it's a housing bubble. And when interest rates go up, people won't be able to afford their houses. And anybody who only has 5% equity in a house is a risk. And we're not going to take those chances anymore. Andy in California is on the line. Andy, let me pick you up right after this break. We've got just about 20 seconds here left in this segment. I don't want to short shrift you. So if you can hang on for 5 minutes, we got this break and we'll come right back to you. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network, where we're helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense. From the radical middle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. Dog owners will be happy to know whether your best friend is a purebred show dog or the lovably mixed-up product of a neighborhood indiscretion. They're equally welcome at Motel 6. No judgments here. So put the old Cocker Chow Labrador mix in the back seat and hit the road. But first call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 or visit motel6.com. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. Anacor Hotel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's good day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad? Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I pointed out that 15% of all the consumption increases in 2001 and 2002 were directly derived from people taking equity out of their homes. Here's another mind-boggling statistic. Nearly 70% of the increase in economic output in the second quarter of this year. You know, everybody's talking, George Bush, hey, the economy's recovering. Look at this. We see it's only gone up a little bit, but it's actually going up. Nearly 70% of the increase in economic output in the second quarter can be traced to Pentagon spending. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Andy in California is on the line. Andy, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. I'm curious. I've been listening to the show. I've been listening to IE America on the Internet. And it's cool. It sounds really progressive. But I was curious because I was listening to your show, and your callers call in and you guys talk about Dean, I don't know if the callers understand that Dean still supports militarism and the military-industrial complex, and I don't know where you stand on that, but I'm a veteran, and although he was anti-war, he still supports maintaining this outrageous military budget. And you're a very knowledgeable man, obviously, about the economy. And you understand what the military budget does to our economy, don't you?
Oh, I do. And I know your point well, Andy. And we had Joe Trippi on, the campaign manager of the Dean campaign. And first of all, this isn't the Howard Dean show, by the way. I'm more than pleased to talk about and say good things about any of the Democratic candidates. And we certainly have a number of Kucinich devotees who regularly call in as well. But anyhow, we had Joe Trippi on here, and we've had Kucinich's campaign manager on too, or at least the California campaign manager. And we raised this issue, and my recollection, and if I'm wrong, I'm sure one of our listeners will correct me, but my recollection was that Joe Trippi said that what Howard Dean was saying was that we need to be spending our money more intelligently. In fact, yesterday we had on a guy who was talking about how Howard Dean is looking for, to reduce the muscle-bound aspects of the U.S. military. So I'm not sure that I would suggest you check out his position on that.
Andy, I'm doing that right now.
Yeah, we're at the top of the hour here. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan says UN staff won't be run out of Iraq, despite yesterday's bombing at the UN's headquarters in Baghdad that has killed at least 20 people.
There are many other United Nations officials who remain in Iraq, and we will continue our work. We should not be distracted nor deterred by this senseless and brutal act of violence.
Among those killed in the blast was the top UN envoy to Iraq, Sergio Vieira de Mello. Annan spoke on a stopover in Stockholm, Sweden, en route to New York City, where he'll meet later today with the Security Council. The Palestinian leadership is ordering its security forces to seek out and arrest the militants behind yesterday's suicide bombing of a bus in Jerusalem that has killed so far at least 18 people. Israeli Foreign Prime Minister Gideon Meir says the bombing is another example of terror by Palestinians when the Israelis make overtures of peace.
Whenever Israel is making gestures to the Palestinians, the response which we are getting is terror, more terror, and more terror.
Earlier today, Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas severed contact with Islamic militant groups and vowed to find out who's behind the bombing. He'll meet with his cabinet later today to decide what security measures to take against the militants who've claimed responsibility for yesterday's attack. The groups Hamas and Islamic Jihad have both said they carried out the attack. Another attack on American troops in Iraq today. Guerrillas fired rocket-propelled grenades at an American military convoy in Tikrit. Two soldiers were injured in the attack, and one civilian American contractor was killed in the incident. U.S. military spokesman Major Brian Luke says soldiers are now working with locals to root out pockets of resistance.
We have taken appropriate response, secured the area, and currently conducting operations on from tips from Iraqi citizens on where enemy forces may be hiding.
It hasn't been released yet just who the contractor worked for or where he was from. U.S. authorities blame the attack on supporters still loyal to Saddam Hussein.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like, but on the inside, I'm all. Just because I look like, doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
California Governor Gray Davis hopes his speech at UCLA last night will help save his political career. For the first time since voters signed petitions to recall him, Davis admitted he reacted slowly to the state's energy crisis, but he maintains the effort to boot him out of office is just partisan politics. Arnold Schwarzenegger, meanwhile, is trying to present himself as the everyman Republican candidate in new television ads aimed at forwarding his campaign for governor of California. On the Democratic side, meanwhile, Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante revealed his agenda yesterday for cutting the state's budget deficit, including new taxes and budget cuts.
I have a question for the men out there.
What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Police are investigating after firefighters responding to a house fire in Detroit last night found 3 children shot to death and a 4th critically injured. More on the story from reporter Peggy Hodge.
Emergency workers discovered the 3 children in the basement of the home around 10 p.m., and authorities believe the fire was set to cover up the killings. An 11-year-old girl who was shot in the stomach was found alive on the first floor of the house and is in critical condition. She is expected to recover from her wounds. Police said the children's parents were getting a divorce, and their mother, Essie Bailey, had moved out of the residence. Authorities are looking for the children's father, Anthony Bailey, for questioning. Peggy Hodge, Detroit.
And 2 Colorado counties have declared health emergencies in their battle against the West Nile virus. The state of emergency allows exterminators to spray 4 mosquitoes, which of course can carry that disease, without asking for landowners' permission. Colorado wants the federal government to pick up the more than $4 million tab that will cover the insecticide spraying. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Cucumbers, jazz, Gwyneth Paltrow, and khakis. Speaking of cool things, how's your vehicle's cooling system stacking up for the summer? Don't sweat it. When I come back, I'll tell you how to chill out. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. It's hot, and you're working hard. You can't go another foot till you cool off. Aha, now you know how your car feels. In fact, overheating's the number one cause of breakdowns. Like our bodies have a cooling system, cars do too. They rely on radiators to keep their engines from boiling over. To properly cool, these systems must be maintained with correct proportions and levels of coolant water mixture. So this summer, think cool, calm, and collect the money saved by radiator check. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to our program. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space on the IE satellite radio system, or radio satellite system. I never get that right. And broadcast streaming live from the internet, on the internet, from IEAmericaRadio.com, Live365.com, RadioPower.org, my favorite of the bunch, and with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And our question for this hour, and I am so pleased to have this guest on. This guy I have so much respect for. Our question for this hour, how to win the water cooler wars with conservatives in 3 minutes or less. I mentioned this in the last hour that we were going to have this up, and we've got a whole bunch of folks in our chat room. It's just packed full of people. You can get into the chat room, by the way, if you go to TomHartmanShow.com and click on the links to the chat room. And immediately a discussion came out. If you want to know about how to win the water cooler wars with conservatives in 3 minutes or less, go to ConceptualGorilla.com. And everybody says, hey, and then somebody else says, hey, that's a cool site, you know. And sure enough, as I've mentioned several times in this program in the last few months since I first discovered it, Joe Lyles has done a brilliant job with ConceptualGorilla.com in putting forward an analysis and dissection of the right-wing arguments, the so-called conservative arguments. After working as a trial lawyer for 10 years, Joel Lyles left the courtroom to consult trial lawyers on strategy and tactics. As founder of the popular website ConceptualGorilla.com, he uses his expertise to show the public how to defeat the right in 3 minutes. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How you doing, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Joe?
Oh, about the same.
Okay. Let's just start at the beginning with the big thing, and that is the theory. The theory that every conservative and all of the ditto heads out there can recite chapter and verse, that is, specifically, that if labor had its way, labor prices went up, the cost of goods would go up. If the cost of goods go up, companies can't compete, they go out of business, the economy goes to hell in a handbasket, therefore we've got to have cheap labor. What do you say?
Well, first of all, you start with the history. You look at the statistical evidence. If you look at inflation rates shortly after many numerous rises in the minimum wage, you find out that it doesn't happen. In fact, frequently inflation rates decline shortly after rises in minimum wage. They declined in 1963. They declined in 1957. They declined after the rise in 1996.
You're saying that every time the minimum wage went up, inflation rates went down?
Well, I'm not going to say every time. Those are three noteworthy examples of when they went down.
Now, why is that?
Also, those same examples you find an economic boom following. We were still around 6% unemployment in 1963. By the time LBJ left office, we were down to 3.5% unemployment. The late 60s was an economic boom in U.S. history, as was the late 90s. And the reason for it is very simple. You put money in the pockets of the working man, he spends it. That leads to economic expansion. And a lot of times you'll see conservatives agreeing that that's what happens when an expanding economy boosts wages, boosts spending, boosts more economic expansion. So the argument is hogwash, and historical evidence shows that it is.
Yeah, it's sort of that they start with the starting point that if you can stimulate the economy by generating more business, by having more factories, by giving money to wealthy people who will then build factories and invest in companies, that those companies then will hire people, and those people that will then spend their money to buy the goods from those factories. And what you're suggesting is that that's a myth. And it just makes sense that that's a myth, that factories are not built because the government gave wealthy people a tax cut. Factories are built to meet a demand. And so what we do is we start out by stimulating demand. This is demand-side economics instead of supply-side economics. You start out by creating the demand. That is, you give money to working people by giving them a decent wage, and they will then start demanding goods to buy with that money that they have, which will then cause people of capital to say, hey, I can build a factory to do this. Am I summarizing that well?
That's a pretty good summary of how it works. In fact, if demand is low, you don't have demand, people who will the wealthy investors will put their money in safe haven investments like the bond market.
Or in factories in China.
Another place they might put them, correct.
I mean, that's the thing that totally dumbfounded me about how many Republicans could listen to George Bush say, we need to give money back to the rich people in America, and listen to Rush and all these other ones say, we need to give money back to the rich in America so that they will build factories. And nobody got it, they'll build factories with that money in Thailand or in China or in Malaysia. They're not going to build factories here but that's a whole other rant about.
We could ask the question now. I mean, the first round of tax cuts came through in 2001. Where are the new factories? Where is the investment?
Well,
they're not
in China.
Seeing it.
They're in China. We're seeing this huge flight of capital to China. I mean, there was a really good article about it in the Wall Street Journal 2 weeks ago about how the capital flight from the United States to China. We are American investors, American corporations and American wealthy individuals are investing more money in China right now than they're investing in the United States.
Well, that makes sense.
And it's because of the cheap labor conservatives. Let me go through some of the points that you make on your website here.
All right.
Cheap labor conservatives don't like social spending or our social safety net. Why would they? Why is that?
Well, the concept is bargaining power. If you're a working man, how much bargaining power have you got with your employer? Well, the more options, the more choices, the easier it is on you if you're unemployed, the more bargaining power you have when it comes time to say, well, I will accept or not accept whatever I'm offered. If there's no social safety net and you're unemployed, you're looking at starvation. And that is a nice lever to get you to work cheap. Because if your choice is to work cheap or starve, what are you going to do? If you have a safety net, maybe you don't have to make that choice, at least not right away.
Yeah, and then the cheap labor conservatives say, well, we don't want you to have that choice because we don't. But then they pull out the morality argument. They say, but you know, you're encouraging people to be lazy.
Well, this is nonsense. I mean, if you know anything about people on public assistance is not particularly generous. I mean, we're talking $500 or $600 a month. If you're on public assistance, I mean, that's not a living. Yeah. You know, the best way to make a living is get a job with decent pay. That's how you make a living.
Yeah, there you go. We're speaking with Joe Lyles, the author or owner of the website conceptualguerrilla.com. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Paula on the road in Georgia has a question, and then I got a question from our chat room, too, here. Paula, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Paula. Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I totally disagree with your comments, and actually I'm going to try to be calm since I'm walking out here and I'm driving down the road and I just accidentally caught you. I don't feel like that I am the rich folks that are getting all this tax cut back, but the people that get the tax cut back are people that pay taxes. So what you want to do is take my money, which, believe me, I am not a rich person, or I wouldn't be out here working myself to death. And I'm 56 years old, still working. But you want to give it to who? You said you want to give it to the poor folks? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's really my position on welfare is that welfare is a very poor anti-poverty program.
It's hard for me to hear, and I can't turn my radio back up. Your position on welfare is what?
It's not a very good anti-poverty measure. Welfare is humanitarian anti-starvation assistance. That's all it is. If you want to promote, prosperity among the people on the bottom, the way to do it is with good jobs at good wages. That's how you do it. Which makes them taxpayers, by the way.
I certainly agree with that. I just don't agree with the way that you're talking. You continue to want to tax people, but you don't have an answer for good jobs. So tell me, what is your answer for good jobs if we don't give it? Don't stop taxing so much and taking it away from us?
We can start with trade sanctions to stop capital flight to third world cesspools like Indonesia. That'd be one start.
For buying everything overseas. But, you know, this is a hypocritical point because I'll go to Walmart and spend the little dollars I have. 90% of that is coming from overseas. So your catch-22 is we want to pay less for products. And we're not going to have it made in the USA if we pay less for products. So what is your answer? If we continue to raise union wages to $20 and $25 an hour, you're sure not going to have cheap consumer goods here. So
well,
what's your answer for that?
We've been over this. If you raise the wage scale on the bottom, you find that the economy expands.
If you raise the wage scale on the bottom, which, of course, I'm for that, but you might as well accept the fact that everything else is going to go up.
Well, I hear that over and over again, and I'm telling you the statistical data doesn't show it. The economic data doesn't show it.
This is a lie that you have been told.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, this is all, you know, when Nike started making shoes in Indonesia where it cost them $1.50 a shoe to make them, Paula, do you think that they reduced the price on their shoes? They didn't. They increased the price on their shoes.
I certainly do not. But I guarantee if Nike was making it over here and we're paying instead of 25 cents an hour, which is disgusting, okay, it's disgusting that those people would have to work for that. But if they're being paid $10 and $15 an hour, we couldn't even afford a Nike shoe.
Well, the fact of the matter is they were making them in California. They were paying their help $11 an hour, and they were selling them for what they're selling them right now. They were competing with Reebok and all the other companies who still make their shoes in first world economies and are still making a profit. $100 is a lot of money for a pair of shoes. It doesn't take that long to make a pair.
Well,
Paula, the problem, you identified the catch-22, but what you've missed, Paula, is where the loop begins. It's not that you're not making much money and therefore you have to be able to buy cheap stuff at Walmart. It's that if you were making more money, yes, the price of stuff at Walmart might go up because if the stuff was only being bought in the United States by good, well-paid labor, but it's not going to go up in price anywhere near as much as your purchasing power is. You're going to win and the large corporations are going to lose if wages go up. And you've got the cause and effect backwards because you've been listening to too much Rush Limbaugh. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Joe, stick around. Hang on the line here. Paula, thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Are you still paying the price for something you did in your past?
No, not that embarrassing incident at the frat house. I'm
talking about all those high-interest student loans you agreed to.
Well, we can help. Just call
1-800-2-COLLEGE. Anytime, 24/7. We're College Loan Corporation. We're dedicated to helping you refinance your college loans with interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. So tell those old loans to hit the road and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country
back. If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network. Every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
see the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
Show weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're speaking with Joe Lyles, who is the author, owner, publisher, I guess is the right word, of ConceptualGorilla.com, the website that says you can win an argument with the conservatives in 3 minutes or less. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Sean in Augusta, Georgia is on the line. Sean, welcome to the Tom Hartman program with Joe Lyles.
Hey, thanks, Tom. I just wanted to respond to that lady who just called in. Was it Paula?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A little tip for Paula. If you don't want your money going overseas, stop buying your stuff at Walmart. That's the biggest, they are the biggest, the most dangerous monopoly in America right now. They have a chokehold on the entire supply of the goods in the nation, and they're basically brutalizing other countries or brutalizing companies into moving to other countries so that they can get their goods cheap.
Yeah, and, it's a tough one. It's a tough situation.
It's a very tough situation. I find it difficult not to buy stuff from Walmart because, you know, if I need that toilet brush, it's 1 a.m. Walmart's open. Mom and pop shop isn't open. But, you know, you just got to bite the bullet. Wait until they are open. Go and buy your stuff from them because you're pumping money into our economy, not into the pocket of, Walton.
Yeah. And this is where our founders, when this country was created, had this bizarre idea that the government should have some ability to regulate commerce because commerce and commercial activities and corporate activity are allowed by government. They require government to function. Government creates the currency for them. It creates a system of laws for them. It authorizes corporations to exist, and therefore they had to give back. They have to participate in the public good if they're going to extract something from the public, the commonwealth, the commons. If they're going to use our roads and use our infrastructure and use our employees, and that's not an idea that seems to make much sense to the cons and the neocons. Thanks, Sean, for the call. I appreciate it. Linda in New Orleans has a comment for Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. I think you agree with Sean. Linda, your comment real quickly here.
Hi. My comment is for Paula. The selling point for these corporations to be able to go abroad was simply that the goods would be cheaper. But in the main, that has not been the case at all. Take, for example, Liz Claiborne. Her clothes are just as expensive as they were, and the quality has gone down, and we're paying the same price for them. I personally am boycotting Liz Claiborne, and I am boycotting as many companies as I can, and I am boycotting Walmart. I don't think these things would cost any more if they were made here. They just went over there, and they're making more money, and we're paying the same prices, and we're having people unemployed who should be employed.
Where is Liz Claiborne? Where is that stuff made?
Liz Claiborne is made in the Third World. Sir, I think it's either China or Taiwan, one of those countries.
Okay.
But I no longer buy her products. Now, Carol Little used to be made here, and I was buying her clothes. They're very expensive, but they're extremely well made. And Pendleton, I think, is still made in Oregon. These are women's sort of dress clothes.
Thank you, Linda.
The thing is if you go overseas where the labor is cheaper, people are already used to paying a price, and basically you're already selling at the at what the market will bear. Why would you want to lower your price when you can put the profit in your pocket? And that's
why Phil Knight is one of the richest men in America. You know, the head of Nike. He's a billionaire. He's not a billionaire because he's been passing along his labor savings to you and me.
That's right.
Joe, quickly, we're running up against a break here.
Okay.
Make a quick point here, you were going to say?
Well, I just wanted to point out, I mean, if you look at the statistics about who owns most of the assets in the United States, how that number, how basically ownership of our assets has been concentrating in a smaller number of hands, how does that happen? We have people working. Everybody's going to work every day. How is it that as you work, the rich keep getting richer and richer and richer? The answer is,
and that's a great question, Joe, and let's get into that in detail right after this break. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman, the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller. No breakthrough in talks between Verizon and two unions representing 80,000 employees, but things are definitely heating up 2.5 weeks past a strike deadline. Verizon's largest union, the Communication Workers of America, yesterday filed federal wiretapping charges against the phone giant, charging that two company officials illegally listened in on a conference call to journalists. The CWA invited 27 reporters to join the August 13th conference call, and the union says Verizon officials dialed in uninvited and unannounced. The suit seeks an admission of guilt and punitive damages.
On the layoff watch, IBM cut 600 employees from its microchip manufacturing unit. 500 workers at a plant in Vermont will be let go, and the other 100 cuts will be spread around at other IBM chip plants. The company is also putting 3,000 workers on a week-long unpaid furlough. And at MCI, workers say management's preparing to fire about 10% of the company's 55,000-strong workforce, with the announcement of exact cuts expected before the end of the month. MCI is struggling to get out of bankruptcy, but is in new trouble now on charges of massive billing fraud, which are the focus of investigations by the FBI and FCC.
The federal government's long-running oversight of the Teamsters Union may come to an end, at least according to the union's president. James P. Hoffa says his union has received a proposal to restore governance to Teamsters officials by the end of the year and possibly even sooner. While details of the offer are sketchy, any agreement would likely require the union to appoint an internal ethics officer to monitor any potential mob influence over the union. The Teamsters have been under federal oversight since 1989 when the union settled a civil racketeering suit filed by then U.S. Attorney Rudolph Giuliani.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Joe Lyles of the website conceptualgorilla.com. We've got a whole bunch of folks in a chat room here on the web, and one of them is one of the cheap labor conservatives that you talk about. Here's how to defeat their arguments in 3 minutes or less. Now, I just want to toss out a couple of the points that he or she has made here. One of them is, then, why are the only people who use the social safety net welfare moms? Liberals want everyone to be dependent upon them. What's your response?
Well, the people who use the social safety net are the people on the bottom. I mean, this is a no-brainer. Meanwhile, but see, the thing is that it isn't just people on the bottom. I mean, what we call welfare is obviously targeted to low-income people. But there's all manner of public assistance to... You know, I mean, the fabled corporate welfare, where the government basically comes in and brings in and offers federal taxpayer assistance to businesses that are struggling for one reason or another.
Right. Now, this,
for
this
example,
person
in the wake
room,
of 9/11.
Right. This person in the chat room says corporate welfare creates jobs. Welfare moms just create a drain.
Well, welfare moms, you put money in their pocket, they spend it. Listen, there's no doubt, but I don't want to argue about that, because welfare is an expense. There's no doubt about it. It's an expense. But then you have to look at it relative to other expenses. I mean, we're talking, when you talk about public assistance, traditional welfare assistance, we're talking less than $50 billion a year that we spend. Meanwhile, we spend $300 billion a year in interest payments to people who hold the bonds that finance the national debt. Now, who are your tax? Where's your tax money going to? Where's more of your tax money going to?
Right, George W. Bush, who owns all those bonds in his trust fund.
That's correct.
Or to the welfare mom. Well, what about the point? Here's another point that this person says: a unionized Walmart would run the company out of business. Walmart employees don't deserve more than $5 or $6 an hour. Have you ever met a Walmart employee? They are lucky to get $3 an hour, and most of them have health insurance. Quote unquote.
Walmart employees don't deserve. By what standard does he decide whether somebody deserves something? Here's the standard I measure it by. If you go to work, you create value. If you're not creating value, your employer is not going to keep you around. And the way I see it is, if my labor is making my employer rich, then where's mine? See, if he's allowed to profit from my labor, how come I'm not? No matter who I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter that I dropped out of the ninth grade, what difference does it make? If I'm making you money, how come I don't get a piece of the surplus that I'm generating? That's the question.
Well, yeah, and the answer is because we have a system that allows those who are controlling that to keep it from you. Although we got to be careful here, because that seems to drift in the area of socialism. But I think what you're suggesting is something that's really just pure free enterprise.
Well, that's my view of it is that with a few things in place, the bargaining power, if you increase the bargaining power of the working man, he'll take care of himself.
There you go.
And
John,
my whole emphasis is wages, wages, wages.
Right. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And John in Portland, Oregon's on the line. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, I tuned in just a few minutes ago, and two things I caught. One was I heard the comment about Walmart, Nike.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings in also something about the bottom-end wages. And I'm probably reinventing the wheel here, but, you know, Ravi Batra wrote a number of years ago a book called The Myth of Free Trade. And he pretty much made a very strong argument for the fact that improved wages improves the economy over the near and long term. Does that sound counter to what you believe?
That is our history over the last 70 years, ever since we started with codifying the right to organize back in 1935. The first minimum wage was established in 1938. The economic history of the United States from the 30s to today has been more or less continuous prosperity with a few bumps in the road here and there.
Right, but the way I look at it is the unions, using a generic term, have lost their power because we effectively have no more import tariffs. Any corporation can go anywhere they want to have anything made at any price. And as you mentioned earlier, they maintain their selling price and they're just pocketing the difference. But without some kind of control, it's sort of like the pollution in East Germany. If you don't have controls at the national level, they'll all dump their steel slag in the river and not worry about the cleanup costs. And it's the same way with wages. With no control, the lowest common denominator, whether it's Taiwan or Indonesia or China, brings down the common denominator here.
Well, that's been our experience, and you'll notice that as labor has organized labor has eroded in its power, the wages and the prosperity of people who work has been stagnating.
And the only way you're going to get the power back is to get it back at the national level. If you look at two examples, one is Detroit's pickup trucks, the other is Harley-Davidson's motorcycles. The only reason they're doing as well as they do is because 20-some or 30 years ago, there was a tariff put in place in the tune of 25%. But with no tariffs, Nike's just going to run roughshod, and there's a feeding frenzy for the CEOs to take all their little companies overseas. We've got three or four companies here that are going to China, and they're just little $20, $30 million companies. It's like I say, it's a feeding frenzy because there's no national, mandate for empathy
right.
And morals.
Yeah. Excellent point, John. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. What's really going on here, Joe, it seems to me, is that companies are the highest costs and internalized profits if they're slagging the river. If they can externalize their costs or if they can reduce their costs and they can internalize their profits, and one of the costs of labor is the social cost associated with labor, and they're shipping all that social cost overseas, they're allowing the infrastructure of China to pick up the tab for the Chinese labor, and so, boom, you know, it's enhancing their profitability, but it's damaging our structure here in the United States. You know, people say, well, wait a minute, this is communism supporting these unions. How do you respond to that when somebody says, you know, this is a super left argument, this is like some kind of a communist argument, you're saying workers should have the same power as bosses? You know, how do you respond? Joe, you still there? Hey, Shar, I think we've lost Joe. Joe, you still there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You need me to start over?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the last few things you said.
I absolutely believe that labor ought to have as much bargaining power at the table as they can muster. I mean, it's called free enterprise. That means that we don't hold one party down relative to the other.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole point, is that the more bargaining leverage labor has, then the higher the wages they're going to be able to earn. Why should we put our thumb on the scale in favor of management? Why should we do that?
Well, because the conservatives want it that way.
Well, that's really, at the end of the day, the logic of their position. This is what we want. We should get it.
Right. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. Tanya in Santa Fe is on the line. Tanya, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. We're talking with Joe Lyles.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that buying locally versus buying from the big box stores actually puts a lot more back into your community. For every dollar that you spend at a local company, 45 cents of that dollar, so 45% of your dollars remain within your community. When you go to a big box store, only 18 cents on the dollar, 18% of what you spend stays within your community in wages. And that's even, you know, when people get comparable wages in the big box stores or when they get them in a local organization, it's still 45 cents for every dollar that you spend remains within your community. And that's, you know, that's beneficial. Your community gets the taxes, and it helps to build your infrastructure, and it keeps the money within your community. Also, we've got this feeling of need for cheap plastic junk, and my solution to that is that that I go to the thrift stores, and I can find my heart's desire in cheap plastic junk at the thrift stores. It's less expensive, and the money goes back into my community to help people, either local business owners or it goes back into my community to help people with needs, special needs.
Well said, Tanya.
I'd be interested to know where those numbers came from.
Actually, there's a Santa Fe Small Business Citizen Alliance, and I got those numbers from them because we're working as business owners and citizens to work together to keep our dollars within our community.
Right. Because,
and so I got that number from, I got from them.
Yeah. I mean, those numbers make a lot of sense to me. I mean, people talk about how cheap things are at Walmart, but when you spend a dollar at Walmart, that dollar's leaving town and heading to Bentonville, Arkansas.
Indeed. And if you live in a small community, you may not have the access to a thrift store where you can go buy your cheap plastic junk or your Gap clothing, for example. If you don't want to support Gap because they contract out to Bangladesh and Indonesia, you can go to a thrift store, and if you've got to go to town to go to Walmart or to Target, then you can go to the thrift store and find yourself a nice pair of Gap jeans or a nice sweatshirt, and you're going to pay pennies on the dollar, and that money is going to a good cause rather than going to support a corporation that is not treating its employees well.
Good point, Tanya. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate
Thank
that. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. And Roy in Rio Rancho has a question. Roy, Rio Rancho, New Mexico, I assume?
Yeah, hi, Tom. Beautiful call from Tanya. I mean, that was just tremendous. In fact, she took a little bit of my thunder. I wanted to get Joe to comment on here in Albuquerque, our local Republican representative was just on TV bragging how she got a $14 million grant to build a new exchange coming off the highway for when the new Walmart Supercenter opens.
Yeah.
They give these folks tax abatements. They pay their employees so damn lousy that they can get food stamps. They get a tax abatements on the property taxes and all this other kind of stuff. They get completely, we're subsidizing them so that they can give us the low prices so that they can send the jobs to New Mexico. Something's out of whack.
Absolutely.
That is a magnificent example of public spending helping to build private fortunes.
Yeah.
What you have
and not only that, they get to sell the food and take the food stamps from their employees and make the profit on the food that they're selling to the employees that they're not paying enough so that the employees have to have the food stamps. It's bizarre.
It's bizarre. Externalizing their costs. Their social costs are being paid for by you and I so that Walmart is being subsidized in all these different ways. Thanks, Roy, for the call. Joe, you wanted to make a comment?
Well, I was just saying that his particular example, I mean, you have public money being spent basically to boost their traffic into their store. So basically, you and I, the taxpayer, are paying for the public infrastructure that's going to bring people into their store. Then they'll turn around and complain about paying too many taxes.
Right.
Plus
Joe,
the tax breaks they might get from on the local level to be there to start with.
Right. Joe, how do you respond to somebody who says, well, you liberals, you all just hate rich people, you know, but it's rich people who are giving you your jobs?
Well, what did we do before there were rich people? I mean, the United States, you know, in the early days of the United States, we didn't have Sam Walton, and we all managed to make a living. I don't have anything again at all in the world against someone who stacks up a lot of money. Really doesn't offend my sensibilities. My concern is, how's the guy who's making the things you sell, how's he doing? When he's doing well, when he's sharing in the prosperity, you can get as rich as Croesus for all I care.
Okay, great. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. Peter in Kentucky's on the line. Peter, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Joe Lyles.
Hi, thanks for doing the show. I had a comment about language, and including some of the language you were using. I often, you know, hear people talking about free enterprise and the free market, and I know one of the other callers, or maybe it was you, Tom, was talking about the myth of the free market. It seems to me like one of the things we have to do as people on the center or left is challenge, you know, that language and say, look, you know, it's not free market, and it's not capitalism versus socialism. What it is a mixed economy.
That's right.
You know,
the mixed economy and the dynamic here is between basically a free enterprise slash democracy and an aristocracy slash kleptocracy slash feudal system that the conservatives are trying to bring back, in my opinion. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Peter. You know, finish your point, and we'll get Joe's comment on it. We've got about 2 minutes left here.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't even call it a free enterprise democracy. I'd just say it's a market slash socialist democracy. You even have to embrace that socialism has had an influence. It's been positive. That there have been pros and cons of socialism, pros and cons to capitalism, and what we found works best is a mixture of the two. And the second thing, real quick, is I would just say that we really have to challenge, I think, the language about giveaways and government spending, you know, because people like to talk, like the other caller, about government taking our money away, but really it's investment. It's not spending. It's investment. The money is being invested back in our economy. Sure, you pay taxes, but you get fire trucks, you get roads, you get librarians, you get health clinics, teachers. So I think we have to challenge both the free market language and the takeaway spending type language.
Yeah. Good one, Peter. Peter, I gotta ask you to stop right there. But that, good point. And Joe, I want you to respond to that. But we've got Judy in Illinois on the line, and we've only got about a minute left in this segment. And then we'll have 3 minutes after we come back from this break. And Joe, you can wrap up on those 3 minutes. But right now, Judy in Illinois is on the line. And Judy, you got about, I think we got about 30 seconds here. If you want to make a quick point.
Yes, we found out here in Illinois with the Walmart that was in our town that they really weren't good citizens either, because they really didn't care about our community. They were causing a problem with some of the neighbors behind us with bright lights and litter, et cetera. And the local trustee called them, and they wouldn't even talk with him.
Yeah.
So when they wanted to expand, the village said no.
And in all probability, they try to just shove it down your throat. Judy, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate that. Joe, I'm going to hang on to you here over the break, if you don't mind. And we've got about 4 or 5 minute break here, and then we'll come back and we'll have about 2 or 3 minutes. You can wrap up the program for us. Here with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Tom Hartman.
Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We also stream 145 on the Sirius Satellite Radio System. And radiopower.org on the Internet, we're talking with Joe Lyles. Joe Lyles, who put together conceptualgorilla.com. And, Joe, we've got about 2.5 minutes here in the end of the show. And I want to give you, first of all, I want to acknowledge our program was produced today by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and Joe McPherson down in Atlanta and engineered by Shar Jones in Detroit. And thanks to all of them. And Joe, I want to give you the last 2 minutes to give us that you said you can beat the right in 3 minutes. I'm going to ask you in 2 minutes to give us a good summary of that argument.
Well, the fellow that talked about the a mixed economy, I mean, that's hitting the nail on the head. We know what works. We know that a strong public sector combined with a strong private sector is what builds prosperity all the way to the bottom of society, which is what we want. So when we talk about infrastructure, we're talking about trade policies that are wage earner friendly. We're talking about promoting the organization of labor where necessary. We're talking about things that boost wages, boost spending, which boost prosperity, and we've got the hard numbers to prove it. On the other hand, when you talk about cheap labor conservatives, you're talking about guys who are interested in benefiting the people on the top at the expense of the people on the bottom. You're talking about policies designed to make those who are in control of our national resources become richer and richer and more powerful and drive you into a position where you have to work cheap. That's not what America's all about, and we have experience doing it the mixed economy, New Deal liberal way that has a proven 70-year track record. And that's my basic argument. I'm not a socialist. I'm not a communist. I'm a New Deal liberal, which has, as I say, an established track record.
Yeah. Good and solid. And the reason why the cheap labor conservatives don't like unions is because, for example.
Well, obviously when labor sticks together, collective bargaining boosts the bargaining power of labor. They say they don't like organized labor, but organized capital, which is what a corporation is, And if you have a million people buying shares into one bargaining unit, one powerful, rich bargaining unit, they don't have a problem.
I love that. We got to stop there, Joe. Thank you very much for being with us. ConceptualGorilla.com, one of the best websites on the entire Internet. Uncommon Sense and the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Join us again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.